Now, we're joined in studio by a man who travelled, who's from Skibbereen and came from Cork this morning to be in studio, and we really appreciate this. I'm joined in studio by David French. David, good morning to you. You're from Skibbereen. I know you stayed over the night from Macroom, but still, that was a fine journey to make at an early hour of the morning. Thank you for joining us. You're here because, well, first of all, people may know you from the book you've written about your beloved late sister Valerie. Fur Valerie is the name of the book, the story of my sister's death at the hands of her husband and its devastating aftermath. And you're one of the people who are behind you proposing, driving, really wanting to see this particular law to come into effect, known as Valerie's Law, the Guardianship of Infants Amendment Bill 2025. And this is explain to me what is Valerie's Law?
Hi, first, thanks for having me. Basically, Valerie's Law is the follow on from a recommendation from the Familicide and Domestic Violence Review, an existing government report that was commissioned after Clodagh Hough and her children were murdered by their husband. By her husband. So the government commissioned that review after Jacqueline Connolly spoke to the Minister for Justice at the time. That report came out in 23 after 4 years of work. That has a recommendation saying guardianship should be reviewed, guardianship of these people who have killed their wives and so on. And Valerie's Law is simply saying that the guardianship of the children in the relationship should be suspended from the killer. Like, yeah, he's the only one. Typically, it's a he. Almost all the cases, it's a he who has done the murder. He has guardianship over those children, and it's unaffected by his criminal conviction. It should be suspended to protect those children. And the reason it's not suspended partly is there isn't a mechanism to do so, but the criminal court imposes criminal sanctions. And this is something for the family law court to go and do, to suspend guardianship. So having the power to suspend the guardianship and having a judge who is in a position to look at all the evidence, use the judge's and court's discretion, and then see the best interests of the children. And typically it would be served by suspending the guardianship. I think what's really important here is that this is not about contact. If someone thinks there should be contact between the children and this character who's inside in prison serving a manslaughter or murder sentence, then totally contact could happen. The point is to take away the right that he has to know where they are, to be involved in major decisions, to lean into their lives, to know all about where they're living and who they're living with. That right, you know, he's dissolved the family by killing his wife. And that's fairly final. So, you know, that's what he wanted. Just give it to him.
The way you've outlined that there, David, to me now, it seems very fair, very reasonable. You're not saying that the murderer should have no contact with his children, but you're saying that in terms of legal guardianship, in terms of having a say over their children, that should be no more. Because as you say, he sundered the family by murdering his wife or partner, the children's mother. May I ask you, and if it's too personal, just let me know, how does it feel then for you and the rest of your family? Obviously, you're still dealing with the terrible loss, and you'll never recover by the terrible loss of the murder of your sister Valerie, who's coming up to 7 years this year.
Coming up to 7 years in June,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, and how does it feel then that Valerie's children, your nephews, those children still, the man who murdered their mother still has guardianship over them, effectively.
It just seems like a massive oversight in the law. This is something that, you know, you don't know it exists, and everyone would assume that he would lose guardianship, but it's kind of this loophole that was never legislated for. It is ridiculous that, you know, he sees their school reports, he's involved with the major decisions, and we, as, you know, Valerie's siblings, are absolutely kept out of all of this. We get dribs and drabs of information, but we are totally excluded. The concept of family, Tuzla always talk about birth family, and the term is just the mother, father and children. When she's murdered, what you're dealing with is a violent criminal and frightened children. The relationship of guardianship and the power of guardianship should absolutely be suspended. The professionals obviously get to weigh in and give their expert opinions to the judges. And suspension doesn't need to be permanent. If the experts think guardianship should be reinstated, then that could totally be done.
And may I ask you, it's emerged that TUSLA, the Child and Family Agency, has objected to Valerie's law, as is this legislation aimed at closing this legal loophole that currently allows parents who have been convicted of murdering or killing their former partner or the mother, usually the mother of their children, to retain legal guardianship and decision making rights over their children. How do you feel then with TUSLA? It's being reported by the Irish Times that staff from TUSLA have written to the Department of Justice raising concerns about Valerie's law, about this closing of this loophole. And that partly they're saying that they're of the view, TUSLA, that the children's best interests are served by maintaining contact with their birth parent, even though he, and as you said, it's usually a he, has murdered their other parent.
First of all, I'm very, very surprised that they are opposing the suspension of guardianship. I mean, contact and guardianship are two totally different things. So if TUSLA and the professionals there think contact is the best thing, then totally, yeah, carry on with that. You know, I might not agree, but it's not my decision. The point here is the guardianship and the right that he has to lean in. I am actually very surprised at TUSLA's position, because I had contacted TUSLA, and I'm in regular contact with TUSLA. I contacted them asking specifically for their support on Valerie's law, and I got no reply. I reminded them. Then I was told they'd made a submission, but it was confidential, which I didn't understand, because all of these submissions are publicly available. We had the Oireachtas Committee, the pre-legislative scrutiny, chaired by Matt Carthy in July, and then all the submissions are published by the government directly afterwards. So there's no confidentiality aspect, even at that point in May, when I was in contact with them on this. I find it very worrying that these things happen in the background and a regular citizen is kind of excluded. It doesn't seem right to me that, you know, when someone understands the details of the case and has lived experience, and, you know, I'd like to help TUSLA on this. I've offered to help TUSLA back in May. This isn't some kind of court case or something. The benefit of lived experience, the benefit of the children who are frightened of them, of him, and the benefit of all the research in this area, and there's very recent research on the privileging of the perpetrator despite the terrible crime that they've done in the context of children who are bereaved. So I think, like, the debate needs to be opened up, and that's the point of an Oireachtas committee, and to have a good discussion with all the experts on board so we come to the best legislation at the end of it. Dr. Brian Tobin of UCG, associate professor, has said suspension would be the way to go, and then you wouldn't have a constitutional issue. Jade's Law in the UK is effectively the same thing, and they've brought that in. It's not fully implemented yet, but they're in the process. It was brought in by Sunak's government. This is something where there needs to be a wide discussion and not a kind of closed back corridor thing. I'd really appreciate if our local TD here, Minister Foley, could lean in on this as well. Norma Foley is the Minister for Children, Disability, etc., over TUSLA, so is responsible for their policy direction. So, you know, I've contacted a lot of representatives on this, effectively all the ones I can get addresses for, and have received widespread wide support. And, you know, this just seems like something that could be sorted out with an open discussion, and I'd like to have that. And it seemed to be rebuffed a lot from TUSLA.
And as you said, the point there is that you've no objections to the children having contact with the parent who has been convicted of murdering or killing their other parent. It's just the whole issue about they should not, if you have committed a crime like this that has sundered the family, obviously, then they should not have legal guardianship and decision-making rights over their shared children. If anyone is affected by this, because I'm going to ask if it's okay with you, David, could you stay with us a little bit longer, up to
Absolutely,
about 10?
Yeah.
There's a few other issues I'd like to ask you, because you've raised, you mentioned there before we went on air about violence, domestic violence, and how we may have a notion that it's something that's limited to a sector, to a group in society, and that is not the case. So we'll delve into that a little bit more. Thank you for that, David. And if anyone is affected, I want to give out the number for Adapt Kerry Women's Refuge, and their phone number is 066-712-9100. That's 066-712-9100. And you will also find them on kerryrefuge.com. kerryrefuge.com. Joined in studio by David French, David's beloved sister, Valerie French Kilroy, was murdered in 2019 by James Kilroy, the father of her three children and her husband. And he's been talking to me about Valerie's Law, which, as you know, is the Guardianship of Infants Bill, Amendment Bill 2025. And what it proposes is that legislation would close a loophole that currently allows parents who have been convicted of murdering or killing the other parent to retain legal guardianship and decision-making rights over their shared children. Now, Valerie's Law is included in the programme for government, and the Minister for Justice, Jim O'Callaghan, said it's on the priority list for publication in this Dáil session. However, it's emerged, according to the Irish Times, that some members of staff, TUSLA, which is responsible for the Child and Family Agency, has objected. It apparently has said, or some members of TUSLA has apparently said, that the children's best interests are served by maintaining contact with their birth children. And as David outlined there before the break, Valerie's brother David outlined there before the break, no objection to someone who's been found guilty of murdering his spouse or his partner of having contact with their children. But they should not have legal guardianship and decision-making rights over their children. And if I could ask you there, it just struck me, David, when we were talking about a lot of things, this whole timeline and this whole issue about rights and access and children's say and what qualifies as a family, and I suppose the rights of a family, to what extent should they be enshrined and almost set aside from any other considerations. Up to the early 90s, marital rape in this country wasn't a crime. It was only in the early 90s that a husband could be found guilty of raping his wife. Do you think there's still a kind of attitude in our society in general? I'm not talking about any particular agencies or anyone, but just in society in general, that there's still maybe some sort of hangover from, say, the 19th century, when wives were seen as husbands' possessions. And is it still the case today that children are seen in some ways that they are their parents' possessions?
Yes, that's what it comes across as. It's like, you know, the Constitution has a hierarchy of rights, and the family is just being seen as this indivisible unit. And it's like, look, if one has murdered the other, you know, it's even the church recognizes it, that family's done, and you can go off and remarry. In the church, the seeing the children as possessions, and he speaks for them, and other people speak for them, and the interpretation of what's the best interest of the child, if the child is absolutely frightened that this person will come and kill them as well. And James Kilroy had actually said he told the guards that he'd kill the children. Like, and that was a demonstration of harm, a direct harm to them. But, you know, killing a mother is child abuse. These children are direct victims of this crime. Like, people have to kind of get on board with the fact that family's done, that birth family is finished. You know, it is completely over after that action. They're not his possessions. And they're, you know, the best interest of the child can't just be interpreted by one group or one agency, you know, especially if children are, you know, over 7 or 8 or whatever, and they're frightened of this killer. You know, their views have to be taken into account. you know, it's a real thing. The research has to be taken into account. Expert psychologists have to take this into account. So acting in the best interests of the child. If you think that contact is good, then make contact with him. The whole point of this legislation is to take a right away from him so he can't know where they live and what they're doing and who they're living with and get their school reports and have to sign off on any operation or medical stuff. It's not taking any power from Tuzla. It gives them more freedom of movement. And I think the one thing I'd agree here on with Tuzla is that they probably shouldn't be the agency that would take the verdict from the criminal court and trot down to the family law court to make the application to suspend his guardianship. We have other statutory agencies, such as Cúan, which could do that and fulfill that function. So Cúan, I'm not the expert, but Cúan are basically the statutory body headed by Stephanie O'Keefe, set up, I think, the start of 24, if I'm correct, who are basically over domestic violence, and they will coordinate the refuges, like the CurryRefuge.com that you just mentioned, and basically take that function and deal with it independently of Tuzla, and then focus directly on children, because it's... You know, very often in these cases, children are involved. Children are sometimes taken into care against our family's wishes. My nephews were taken into care. That helped James Kilroy, of course. In a lot of cases, the children aren't in care. So say you're looking after, you know, say you're in this situation. You have a daughter, she's been murdered, and you're minding the grandchildren. Do you want that guy ringing your house, being told where you're at and imposing his will? You're not the guardian of the children that you're minding. He is. So he's got to sign off if they have to go abroad or get a passport or whatever. So Tuzla aren't necessarily in the story at all, and yet they're still objecting to that guardianship. And I know several women who are in exactly that situation, who are minding their grandchildren, and there's a killer who is in prison. He's well convicted. This is all about convicted killers, not suspected. He's inside in prison, and he's exerting his rights to interfere in these women's lives. And all they're trying to do is mind their grandchildren after the crime.
That's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. It really is hard, David. And I don't know how you and your siblings, your whole family have endured this since Valerie's murder 7 years ago and in June 2019. It's very, very hard. And for anyone affected, Adapt Women's Refuge, they're a wonderful organisation. You can call them on 066 712 9100, 066 712 9100. And their website is kerryrefuge.com. And Cúan, that's C-U-A-N, they're the Domestic, Sexual and Gender-Based Violence Agency that David referred to there. David, we were talking before going on air, and you were saying Jill Biden, the former First Lady of the United States, her ex-husband, her first husband, has been arrested for the alleged murder of his wife, his current wife. And you were saying all this shows that this kind of violence, this type of femicide, men killing, murdering, or allegedly in this case, I should say, in relation to Jill Biden's former husband, that this is something that transcends social boundaries, national boundaries, cultural boundaries. It's a huge issue that humanity has to confront.
Yeah, it's something that's kind of not widely known. Typically, it's kind of mischaracterized as, oh, this is like some lower socioeconomic group that, where all this is happening in some faraway deprived place. And I think that stereotype is really, really dangerous, because if a social worker has that in their heads, when they meet kind of regular middle class perpetrator like James Kilroy, they kind of think, oh, you know, he has a job, he's holding down a job, he's got a house.
He seem respectable?
Come across as respectable, from a respectable family, you know, no particular crime background that we ever knew about, you know, just a regular guy. So they kind of look at that and go, well, this can't be right, because he doesn't look like a murderer. So they they kind of, in my opinion, they kind of bought his story and represented and stood up for him. I mean, we wanted to, my sister who lives in Australia with her husband, we wanted to care for the children. And Tuzla blocked that. And my understanding is that they blocked that because Kilroy had a veto on those children going abroad.
And it must be very difficult, because I'm conscious as well, Tuzla aren't here, because we're building, rightly so, on rights and entitlement. So it may be very difficult when an agency gets involved with a tragedy that has occurred like that, and particularly when a tragedy that hasn't been resolved finally in the courts and a verdict has been delivered. But it seems to me that maybe we need to, as you said there, David, that when we think of family, we think too much of nuclear family. And when a great tragedy or evil occurs, when a spouse murders or kills another spouse, that we need to kind of not think that this nuclear family is always the be all and end all. That families and wholes and families that are nurturing and provide love and provide support to children, and particularly children who've gone through the worst trauma possible of losing a mother in such a violent way, that we need to expand our notion of what family is. And maybe society certainly needs to do that, but also the state.
Yeah, like the facts on the ground, like literally when you have a dead body there and someone is charged with murder, I mean, they're assumed innocent until proven guilty. But, you know, when it's black and white that they killed someone, they are dangerous. Whether they mean it or not has to be decided by the court on the murder charge, and you have to prove intent. But it's been known since day one, and Kilroy admitted it completely, that he killed Valerie. So, you know, it was always known he was a killer. So you could go forward with that information and have an abundance of caution as opposed to representing his interests. That's, you know, I never want to go to specifics, because this is a common thing. There's a lot of children affected by this in Ireland every year. My nephews are far from unique, unfortunately. You know, across the EU, we're looking at 700 to 1,000 children bereaved by domestic homicide. And that is absolutely frightening. What makes our case even weirder, if it could be even weirder, is that James Kilroy is not even biologically related to my nephews. They were conceived IVF and sperm donor. And that's public knowledge. This is all public domain, because it came out in the trial. James Kilroy chose to plead, not to plead guilty. So then all this information came out and it is in the public domain. So he's not biologically related, but he is privileged because he is a legal father and legal guardian, which makes this bizarre. But that's a specific of our case, not the general thing. And like, Valerie's law comes from the recommendation of the government report that was commissioned after Clodagh Hough and all of those murders. So this isn't my idea. It's an existing recommendation. It was fed in by the Child Care Law Reporting Project. There's a bunch of other stuff. There's 212 recommendations in that report. One of them says the victim's family should probably be notice party, so that if those kids are being discussed in court, that the victim's family can actually come in. Because as everyone knows here, the family law court is in camera. So, you know, when my nephews are being discussed in court, we were excluded. We could not enter the court, and yet their fate is being decided by strangers who showed up like last week, and you're going, who are these people? Can I trust them? And you don't get the information. So there's, you know, there's 212 recommendations. This is one of them.
Well, David, thank you so much for coming into studio. I still know it's obviously never easy to talk about the loss of your sister Valerie in such a heinous way, to be murdered by her husband. And I know it's still ongoing, and it's a long, and it'll be for a lifetime, you know, recovering or dealing with this and trying to get justice for Valerie and her children. And also what really stands out is that you and your family are not doing it just for Valerie and her children, but for other families, other children, other murdered women, other murdered spouses who are in a terrible position. And your compassion and your big heart really comes out this morning. So I wish you the very best. Just to repeat again before we wrap, if anyone's been affected by this, you can contact Kerry Women's Refuge and Support Services on 066 712 9100. 066 712 9100.